Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Electric cars have come a long way over the past few decades, but they still only run a short distance. Once limited to traveling less than 100 miles before needing a recharge, some modern electric vehicles have doubled that mileage. But that still pales in comparison to most gas-powered cars, which can travel around 300 to 400 miles on a full tank. So how are these fully electric vehicles doing in the marketplace? And how quickly will their technology catch up to consumers' needs and desires? Lake Effect's automotive contributors Dan Harmon and Mark Savage weigh in.
I guess what's impressive to me is that the electric cars are coming on stronger and stronger, and they have more distance, more range that than they used to have, and there's more of them out there. Now, granted, it's a lot more on the expensive end of the market, but there are a few inexpensive ones semi-inexpensive ones that most of the rest of us could afford.
And what classifies an electric car anyway as inexpensive or less expensive these days?
Less expensive these days. I'm test driving a Nissan Leaf right now, and the Leaf starts around $30,000. The Chevy Bolt is about $37,000, Bolt with a B, and the Volkswagen Golf E also is about $30,000, $31,000, I think.
There are other cars that are not available in a lot of the country. Like on the West Coast, I know the Fiat 500e is available, but I think only in California and Oregon, not Washington, which is electric car friendly, oddly enough.
Right. There are a couple others that are out there that like I say, don't have the widespread distribution just yet. But I suppose in the next, two or three years, you'll be seeing those almost everywhere too.
And then what about Tesla's quote-unquote less expensive entry?
That is less expensive, but I think it's also $37,000 to $39,000, something like that for starters. And I got to say, the Leaf that I'm driving right now is $44,000. So when I learned that, I was a little bit shocked. And there is still the $7,500 rebate from the government on it. But those phase out after a while, and Nissan is getting close to that where it starts to phase out on them, I think, at the 200,000 vehicle level. So that's great if you can get in on it now. That lowers the price of your car. And this one's loaded, and it's also the Plus version, and the Plus version has a lot more mileage. The standard Leaf goes 130 to 150 miles on a charge, and this one goes up to 220 to 250 on a charge. I just charged mine over the last couple of days because it takes about 35 hours to totally recharge this thing on a 110 line. And it's at 100%. I used about 5% to drive, 18 miles to downtown. It's easy. And I got to say this. My wife never comments on the cars I drive other than if they were particularly nice. When we drove around in this, she said, I would love this car. This car drives nice. It's easy to ride in. It's got a real decent ride to it. And it's, of course, quiet because it's electric. And with 220-mile range, I mean, you can drive back and forth from here to Madison, and not all the cars used to be able to do that. But, I think that the cars that are the all-electrics are really making great strides over the last couple of years with the better batteries and better range.
And when you say it took 36 hours to charge that Leaf, is that from almost no charge at all, or is that at least halfway to full?
I believe I had 33% battery life left, and then it was plugged in for really the last 2 days because we were using our other car because we were carrying mulch. So it probably was done charging sometime yesterday. But, most of us, if we had a car that maybe did 220 miles of range, we can drive to and from work for probably the entire week and then plug it in over the weekend and be charged up and ready to go for the next week. And that's one of the advantages of this is not only do you have zero emissions for that time period, but you're not buying gas to put into it. And at least from what I understand, and I haven't really seen any good numbers on this, but to plug your car in and charge it for the next day or two is a lot cheaper than putting in $20, $30, $40 worth of gas every week.
That's what I was getting at with it is that if you only use 40 miles a day, you probably can charge that overnight and use the nighttime electricity rates rather than doing it for 36 hours straight.
Right, correct. You could just pull it into the garage. And, you know, we've talked about advantages and disadvantages of electric cars in the past. But to me, one of the big disadvantages, if you're an apartment dweller and you don't have a garage or an easy place to plug things in, I mean, that's a disadvantage. These still are best for people who, you know, have a garage and they can quickly plug it in. And as I said before we got on the air, I would probably want to put a 220 line into my garage so that I can quick and easy charge the whole thing up for 6 hours or so and be done with it and not have to worry about, you know, am I going to leave it overnight for 2 or 3 days if I'm not ready to go immediately. That's kind of a tough thing.
And as electric car friendly as the West Coast is, where I live now, even if you don't live in a house, most garages have a car charging station, but you can't park it overnight just because there are other people who will want to use that charging station. So you can only use it until your car is charged, and then you have to move it to another spot.
Right. And I think, you know, one of the big disadvantages is beyond the mileage, if you're good with the 200 and some miles, if you're going somewhere longer, it's hard to find a charging station. And how long do you have to sit there to recharge if you're going on a trip? And I guess, you know, as time goes on, there'll be more and more of those charging stations. I know Kohl's and a few other places are starting to add some in various spots. But again, my thought is what I pull up there and I, you know, want to plug mine in and there's only two and they're already used, then what do I do? So, but that's one of the disadvantages. And if we can for a second, just talk on the various advantages and disadvantages of the electrics again. And that is, you know, yes, there's no emissions. They're quieter. You know, they have great torque. You know, the acceleration of these is like a little sports car, so that's always fun. But in reality, you're using your electricity to charge the car up. Well, the power plant down the road is what's providing that. And in many places, especially in the Midwest, that's a coal-fired plant. And according to some studies that I've looked at, if you have a coal-fired plant that's providing your electricity, you're about equal with having a good hybrid electric car that gets 40 to 50 miles per gallon. You have the same emissions. You don't have any emissions while you're driving it, but the coal power plant to create it is you know, churning out some emissions there.
Okay. I have no follow-up to that. Just because I've heard the opposite of that, and it does depend on the source of your power. The emissions from a power plant can still be cleaner than those of lots of cars.
That is true, and I should say that the study that I looked at said that over the lifetime of the car, you probably still are about 50% of the overall emissions of a normal gasoline-powered car, even being powered by the coal-fired electric plant. If you got a nuclear plant nearby or a one that's natural gas, then you're really way up there. Then it's more like 10 or 15% of the emissions that the others would have had. So that's good. But I just think it needs to be noted that it's not a completely clean thing. Plus, of course, you got to make the batteries. There's rare minerals that go into these things. So there are some, you know, mining processes probably in places that we don't even think about. They're maybe doing some strip mining and so forth to create the batteries.
And I'm always amused at that discussion as well, that as far as emissions, but the long-term discussion is more of we're not going to have a choice. How long will it be before we don't have fossil fuels, in which case that argument becomes irrelevant? The bigger question being more about conservation and the next step as far as what actually drives the car or powers it or fuels it.
Well, right. I guess my thought is for anyone who's buying an all-electric vehicle, you know, they're looking to have less emissions on a daily basis and overall, you know, but they're also trying to help conserve the petroleum products that we have out there that we know are used in so many of different things, not just in the cars. And, you know, in the long term, I think we will see more electrics. But for the in-between times, which I feel we're in right now, the hybrids still are a great choice because, you know, you get a little of the best of both worlds and just extend your car's easy driving ability. And, you know, that's a big plus for most of us. If you're lucky enough to be able to own two cars, this is a great city car, great thing to have, you know, for a run to Madison for the weekend or to Green Bay for the weekend or whatever. So and they drive great. I am very impressed with the Leaf that I'm driving right now.
And I love your phrase, the in-between times. It does sound a little more ominous.
Well, I think we all know, you know, that there's a rational side to most of us that knows that, you know, the oil will not last forever. No one's saying it's going to run out in the next 5 or 10 years, but the longer we can put off it's running out, then the more we can use it in other ways to either make other products that we want or need or feel we need. And obviously, there's more and more talk about the global climate change. And if we can start cutting our emissions, the carbon emissions in particular, then all the better. And I think certainly for large cities and areas that are highly polluted, then we need to consider, more people need to consider doing an all-electric. And because of the changes that have been happening over the last 2 or 3 years, that becomes much more tolerable, I think, and more acceptable to the consumer.
And the Leaf was the trendsetter, kind of the one that got it all started. So I'm wondering, A, I'd like to hear your impressions of the changes with the Leaf, and B, what's happened with electric cars in general? Since the last time we talked about electric cars, there are many new entries in the market and other changes. So do the changes in the Leaf echo the rest of the pack? In other words, is it still a trendsetter, or is it just kind of one of the others?
Well, I haven't driven all of the others out there. I'm hoping I get the Jag that we talked about earlier. That'd be a fun drive, and just to see how different, you know, that extreme version of an electric is. And Tesla doesn't loan anything out because they don't need us, because they're so busy getting good publicity most of the time on their own. But the Leaf and the Bolt, which is the Chevy vehicle, those are both of similar ilk in my mind, in that they have long ranges, you know, over 200 miles of range at a fairly reasonable price, depending on whether you can get the government rebate at this point or the tax break. So that's all good. These are both comfortable cars, the Bolt and the Leaf. They drive nicely. They steer pretty much like a little sports car. They have the acceleration of a sports car. Yet the one that I'm driving right now is a hatchback. If it didn't say zero emissions on it a couple places, you would think it's another Nissan Versa or Sentra hatchback, and it drives nice. I mean, you would not notice any drastic difference between this and some other gasoline-powered hatchback, except it's quieter. It's kind of funny because you get in and you press the start button, and other than the dash coming on, nothing really happens. And then you slide it into gear and you know, go backwards or forwards, and it's, you know, a lot like driving a golf cart, only with a little more pep and obviously a lot more vehicles surrounding you. There's good storage in the back. The batteries give it a low center of gravity, so it handles well on the highway, and it handles well, you know, in kind of the fast curves that you might want to take if you go out on the country roads. And it's just a nice vehicle that if you were paying $25,000 to $30,000 for it, you would think you got a heck of a bargain. So, you know, you're going to pay a little extra right now. If you get the rebate, that helps. And the same with the Bolt. I have not driven a Bolt for more than just a short test drive. But again, what struck me was how quiet and comfortable, and, you know, they put some sound deadening in here so you don't hear quite as much of the road noise as you used to hear. So I think what you're looking at is today's electrics are pretty much like a standard gasoline-powered car, but just with a different power plant in it. And, you know, a reminder, you don't have to do an oil change with an electric car either, so you save a little cash there, and not as much to wear out other than the electric motors. And so far, I've not heard anything about them wearing out particularly quickly. You know, the higher-end things are going to have a lot more bells and whistles on them, be a lot quieter, bigger, so you can throw more people and more gunk in the back and under the hatch. But I think for just the everyday driver who's going to use this for work, these are pretty much perfect little vehicles at this point. It's just got to negotiate your price a little bit, maybe.
I'll just counter the idea that electric cars are moving forward. I don't think they are as much. There are more choices for sure, but as far as range goes, the Leaf and the Bolt, along with Tesla, of course, are the ones that have actually committed to making longer range electric cars. The rest are still not particularly impressive as far as their range. I remember a few years ago, the BMW i3 was considered cutting edge, and they haven't really upped their game. So I would say that the same goes for most electric cars. They're still in that 60 to 80 mile range.
Well, I think the part of that is that in-between times theory that I have, and that is a lot of those cars were created, you know, probably started to be created 4 to 7 years ago. And when they came out, that was as, you know, long a range as possible. Whereas the Leaf now is, I don't know, been out for 5 or 6 years, I think, and it's now in its second generation, and the Bolt was a follow-up for Chevy after they decided that the Volt wasn't going to do it for them. And I think you'll start seeing that these batteries start having a longer life and giving it a longer charge. And I know Leaf in particular has gone to a different battery format, and they're using manganese, not cobalt or nickel in theirs now, which still in theory allows it to charge quicker for those, you know, the normal version of this car. And, you know, I think that, again, it's just technology takes a while, and there's a lead time of, you know, 3 to 5 years on cars to get out there. So it may be that the next generation of the BMW and so forth, you may see that they have that. And I know people like Volvo have been talking about going all electric, and I think Volkswagen and Audi are along that same line. So you can be sure that they're going to have those long-range batteries in the cars as quickly as they possibly can. So, it may be another year or two for some of them, but I guess I'm just thinking that currently we've now got a couple of good choices for fairly inexpensive family cars that can get you to and from work and to the mall, as they say, and soccer practice and whatever else.
So is your overall impression then that since our last conversation about electric cars, that they have improved, that things are getting better, that both range and selection choices, et cetera?
Well, right. It's going to take a while for all of the car makers to catch up and do this. I think more of the car makers have just come out with hybrids in the last 2 or 3 years, and some of them with plug-in hybrids the last couple of years. And you know, like I say, that's the in-between step. So maybe you don't have the technology or you don't have the numbers. Let's say a Mazda that maybe doesn't sell as many cars, they can't commit full-time to this, or Subaru. So they go to a hybrid first and then start working on the electrics for, I'm going to guess, 5 or 7 years down the road for them.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Good update on electric cars.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You'll find Mark Savage's latest auto review on the Nissan Leaf at WUWM.com and his website, SavageOnWheels.com. Savage is also the editor of Scale Auto Magazine, part of Kalmbach Publishing in Waukesha. He joins contributor Dan Harmon regularly to talk about cars, and you can explore their past segments at WUWM.com.